Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We're kicking off a new sermon series this Sunday, and this whole summer we're going to be studying what it means to be a child of God, a believer in Christ, and how that informs our personal identity. How being a child of God, how being a believer in Jesus informs our personal identity. And I think that we find the crux of what happens when we believe in Jesus as our Savior in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm not going to have you stand this morning, but we'll flip that verse up on the screen here for you real quick. We're going to dig into what it means when we read these words, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives within me." Those are churchy words. We talked about churchy culture last week, and there's a lot of churchy words baked into that, and we're going to be unpacking what all of that means and its impact on our personal lives. We live in an age where proper identification is critical if you're going to get anything done and if you're going to go anywhere. In order to fly, you need the appropriate photo identification, correct? In order to conduct important transactions, if you want to get a loan, if you're going to vote, you need to provide proof that you are who you say you are. There's a lot of stories in the news right now about voter fraud because people are coming in and pretending to be another person and they're voting once, maybe voting twice. You're only supposed to vote once. And so voter fraud's an issue, and so they're trying to figure out how do we prove people's identities so that we can make sure that we're preventing voter fraud. Where I work, security is a big issue. You cannot get in the building. I didn't bring it with me this morning, but I should have thought about that just to have a visible example of this. But where I work, you have to have a security ID card in order to get in the building. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A lot of security ID cards. Anybody gotten to work and forgotten your security ID card? Amen. Praise the Lord. I've done that before, and I always hate that because where I work, you have to do the march of shame. You know, if you forget your ID card, you got to do the march of shame. You got to walk to the security desk, and it's a long walk. And if you see people standing at the security desk doing the walk of shame any given morning, you know that they forgot their ID card because you can't get anywhere in the facility without proper identification. I travel for work, and apparently in 2 years, anybody who flies, you're going to have a special driver's license. I read about this in the paper. And so my driver's license renews next month because my birthday is next month, and it's that time to renew my driver's license. And they're telling me you've got to bring in your Social Security card, and you've got to bring in like two or three other forms of identification to prove that I am Joe Case, so that they can give me a new card. And I'm going to go through all that work and I'm going to do all that stuff, and they're not even going to give me my card that day. I have to wait for it. They're going to mail it to me. They're going to mail it to me in the mail, and I'm like, what if somebody gets my mail? So I'm thinking through all that stuff. So but identification is critical in this day and age. Proper ID, critical. No ID, no service. No ID, no access. Walk of shame. But our ID card, our identification card, whether it's your driver's license or your Social Security card or your badge for work, your ID card does not solely define who you are. Okay? That is your beautiful picture on that card. We all get the best picture for our card, right? That is your beautiful mug. That may be your address, all the information may be accurate, but that card only captures a sliver of who you really are, of what your identification really is. Your personal identification, my personal identification, is closely linked, not just to that card in your purse or in your wallet, But your identification is personally linked also to what you do. All right? Your identification is closely linked to the accomplishments in your life, what you've accomplished. Your identification is also baked into maybe your shortcomings in your life. All these things, they make up your identity. We've got them listed up on the screen. All these things, your name, your role, your accomplishments, your shortcomings, all those things work together to make up what makes you uniquely you. We all have our own identity. I bring this up because this is what we're going to focus on over the next couple months. We're going to focus on who we say we are, all those things up on the screen right now, compared to who God says we are when we decide to make Jesus the king of our heart, when we decide to become a follower of Jesus. I've got a little exercise this morning. I need some help from a couple people. Lee, could you help me pass these out? I want to make sure everybody gets these, gets one of these. And Ed, could you help me pass some of these out too? Just spread them out around the congregation. We don't typically do this, but I thought it would be fun this morning to just take a little bit of time, and you're each going to get one of these handouts, and it's got four categories on that paper that I want you to grab something to write with. Hopefully you can find a pencil or a pen within your reach. But I want you to write out some responses to these four categories that we have up on the screen. Okay? My name or my names. How many of us have multiple names? I think many of us have multiple names. I want you to write down my roles. Many of us have multiple roles in our life. My accomplishments. I want you, and don't worry, nobody else is going to see this. So you're not going to turn this in. It's not going to be made public. This is just something, Alan, you can carry this out of here today. Nobody else is going to see it, right? So my names, my roles, my accomplishments. And I also want you to have the courage to jot down some of your shortcomings. All right? And as you're filling this out this morning, as they're passing those out and you're beginning to fill yours out, I am going to walk through mine. I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning. And I'm going to walk through my identification through these four categories this morning. So when I think about my names, you know, I'm a case. I'm a case. And you're like, boy, are you a case. Right? I'm a case. I'm part of the Case family. So write your last name down there. I'm a case. You're not a case. Don't write my last name. Write your last name. I'm also a Billheimer. All right? So my mom's a Billheimer and my dad's a case. And I'm a little bit Billheimer and I'm a little bit case. Kind of like Donnie and Marie. I'm a little country. I'm a little rock and roll. All right? I'm Joe. So write your first name down. Not Joe, but your first name. I'm Joe. To my sons, I'm Dad. I'm Bop. My boys call me Bop. Do you have a nickname? Right down there in that category, any nicknames you have? Pastor Vicky. By the way, if you all are visiting this morning, you don't know, Pastor Vicky and I are married. So just want to establish that really quick. 27 years we've been married. We co-pastor together. Pastor Vicky, she calls me honey. And every once in a while, she'll do it in church. And we won't lay out that expectation that we're married. And I'm like, what do people think when the lady from the piano is calling me honey? So you've got nicknames. You've got formal names. My roles. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that. Think about your roles as you're filling this out this morning. I'm a father. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to me. I thank you for the applause, that one person. I'm a son. I'm a son. One of my key critical roles in my life is I'm a son. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a brother. Did you know that Pastor Joe has two brothers and two sisters? I'm the fourth of five. So I'm a brother. I'm a pastor. I'm an executive communicator. That's what I do in my job outside of Maplewood. I'm a communications professional. I'm a writer. I love to write. So that's one of my roles. I love to write. I'm a Star Wars fan. That's part of my identification. I'm a Star Wars fan. I own that. I'm a history buff. Somebody asked me this past week, hey, last summer you said you picked something historical to study. What are you studying this summer? I've picked up the biography of Dwight Eisenhower. So I'm reading about the life of Dwight Eisenhower, who was the commander of the Allied forces in World War II, and he became the president of the United States. I started the summer by going to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base a couple of weeks ago, and I walked through Dwight Eisenhower's Air Force One, which you can kind of walk through over at the exhibit over there. I'm trying to touch and feel history. Probably later this year, I think Pastor Vicki and I are going to go to Gettysburg. If you've ever been to Gettysburg, Dwight Eisenhower's home that he retired in after he was president is right on the Gettysburg battlefield. So I'm a history buff. It's part of my identity. So my accomplishments. So look at your accomplishment category, and I want you to write these down. You're not immune. I'm going to write these down. These are yours. My accomplishments. Accomplishment number one, I married up. I married up. Amen? I married an awesome woman. Another accomplishment in my life, I've helped participate in raising three awesome boys. So Curtis, Stephen, and Andrew, they're all my doing and all Pastor Vicki's doing, and I feel like that's a big accomplishment. I think of my career accomplishments. You know, first of all, I've done quite a few things in my career that I never dreamed that the Lord would let me do. But I've had quite a few adventures. And one of the funnest adventures I've been having is being your pastor. So I think about my career accomplishments. And one of the big accomplishments for me as a dad, fathers will get this. Because dads, we put this weight on our life, and it manifests itself in different ways for different dads. But for me as a father, a huge burden on me as a dad for the past 25 years raising my three boys, my responsibility to get my boys through high school and then to get college paid for. And so Andrew's graduating. He's going to school. We think we've got college taken care of. The Lord is providing. We're going to trust in the Lord. I got four more years, baby, and I will have that accomplishment checked off on my list. So think about your accomplishments, and don't diminish your accomplishments, and don't undervalue the accomplishments in your life. It's part of who you are. It's part of your identity. And then I think about my shortcomings. Okay? Then I think about my shortcomings, because my shortcomings inform my identity also. And I think about, you've heard me say before, I am not mechanical. I'm not handy at all. I wish I could be Paul Grandinette in terms of being handy and mechanical. I've got a couple of jobs that Paul is going to be helping me on, because he knows how to do stuff I don't know how to do. It's one of my shortcomings. I'm just not that guy. I can hold the light for you though, Paul. I can hold the light while you're working. I'm awesome. My shortcomings, I think about my sins. I think about my mistakes. There are decisions I've made in my life that in the past that I regret. And even now, sometimes I'll say words that I regret and have to go back and say I'm sorry for. But I think about those past mistakes. I think about words that I'd like to take back that I never should have said. I think about promises that I made many years ago that I didn't keep and I have regret about. I have regrets over poor choices that I've made over the years that I bring into my story. We all do. One of my shortcomings, I'm impatient. I'm very, very impatient. And so if you've ever seen me driving down the highway, you know how impatient I am. Left lane, 80 miles an hour, get out of my way kind of driver, right? But all these things. So as you're writing those things down, I want you to keep that. I want you to keep that piece of paper. I want you to be thoughtful about filling out that form. You don't have to show it to anybody else. This is all about you, and this is all about allowing the Lord to speak to you. But all these things inform our identity. Our identity is intricately linked to all this stuff that makes you, you. It's not just your name on your ID card, but it's all this stuff that we're talking about this morning. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, guess what? None of that stuff on that piece of paper goes away. You bring all that stuff into that relationship with Jesus Christ. You bring all of that history. Some people call it baggage. You bring all that baggage, all that stuff that makes you who you are, into that relationship with Jesus. And as Jesus begins to work in our lives, Jesus begins to have an impact on our identity. Because Jesus, when we are crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but He lives in us, He starts informing our identification. He starts informing who we are. And I think that's at the heart of Galatians 2:20. When we read this verse, we're really talking about the transformation of our identity. So take all the churchy words out of it. What does crucified with Christ mean? Does that mean you're going to hang me on a cross? What? No, it means that He's starting to transform your identification. We're really talking about the work that God does in our heart that begins to transform who we've always known ourselves to be. Because you kind of are comfortable in your own shoes, right? You know who you are. But when we start walking with Jesus, He starts transforming us. Before Jesus, I was a sinner. I was cranky. I was unhappy. I didn't have purpose. After Jesus, I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm restored. I'm much more optimistic because of this relationship I have with Jesus. Before Jesus, I have this history of failures and shortcomings and things that I'm ashamed of. Anybody else there? Yeah, things you're ashamed of. But after Jesus, I get a fresh start, a clean slate. He reboots my computer or my phone, and all that bad stuff goes away, and it's a fresh start, a new beginning. New life, born again. And I think we see this out. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to share it with you real quick this morning. If anyone is in Christ, if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you're a new creation. Amen? You get a fresh start. You are a new creation. The stuff that you bring in this relationship is gone, and He makes you into a new person. The new has come. We read in 2 Corinthians. And as I look at this verse in Galatians this morning, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, and He lives within me. It makes me ask a really practical question. Because if there's anything I am, I'm practical. It's like, what does that mean to be crucified in Christ and to not have me living in me anymore, but have Christ living through me? What does that mean? What does it look like in real life in Springfield, Ohio, on June 17, 2018, Father's Day? What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? How does I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me? How does that translate into something practical and understandable for you and me today as we walk out of here? What does that mean? That's what's going to be our focus this summer. You know, it's not a question I can answer for you lickety split. I'm going to try to do a little high level answer this morning. But one of the things we're going to do this summer is we're going to really dive deep into what it means to be crucified with Christ and to have Him live in us. And I think it starts here. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, right? When I accept Him as my Savior, when I decide to yield my life to Him, I've got this thing in my head, and I want to start putting yield signs up all over the church. Because what does it mean to live in Christ? It means to yield to Him constantly. That's simply what it means to live in Jesus, to yield my life to Him. I exchange, when I yield my life to Jesus, I exchange who I say I am. All that stuff that's on the paper, with who God says I am. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, I exchange my I am with God's I am. And you're like, what does that mean? Because you're just talking crazy talk now, Pastor. I exchange my I am with God's I am. So I want to take you back to the book of Exodus, and you don't have to flip there because it's a familiar story, but in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, we discover the first time ever that Jesus flashed His ID card in the Bible. You know, you go to the store and you got to flash your ID card if you're going to buy a prescription or something like that. You got to flash your ID. Exodus chapter 3 is the first time that Jesus flashes His ID card. And there's this scene in Exodus chapter 3 where Moses is atop a mountain and God is speaking to Moses through a burning bush. You all know that story, right? Charlton Heston, all that stuff going on in the Ten Commandments. But in this particular scene, this is God speaking to Moses through a burning bush. God in this scene, in this scene where he's speaking to Moses through this incredible burning bush, the bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed by the flames. God is in the process of remaking the identity of Moses. He's in the process of reforming Moses' identity from fugitive to deliverer of Israel. Because if you know any of the backstory about this particular episode, you'll remember that Moses, at this point in time, why was he on a mountaintop? Well, he was a sheep herder. He was a rancher. And he had been a rancher for about 40 years. And the reason he was a rancher for about 40 years was because Moses was running from the law. He was running. He was a fugitive. He was most wanted at the post office. He was a fugitive because Moses murdered an Egyptian who was abusing an Israelite. He, think about this. God took a fugitive murderer on the run and is in the process here of remaking this character into the man who would be the leader and the deliverer of the nation of Israel. That's a pretty incredible story, if you think about it. If you think I've done so many bad things and God can't use me, I say you're wrong, because God took Moses, who was a murderer and a fugitive running from the law, and he took his life and he transformed him, he restored him, he gave him a new identity, he gave him a new mission, and thousands of generations later, we're still talking about him. Pretty incredible. So Moses, he's living this life as a sheep herder, and here we are 40 years after he started running from the law, and God's giving Moses instructions on what he needs to do and the message that Moses will need to carry back to the nation of Israel. And Moses is like taking notes. And back then, you got to understand this, because back then, if you were going to go to a people and say, hey, God told me to tell you this thing, it was very common in that culture back then, because it was a polytheistic culture. There was many gods that they worshipped. And people would naturally ask, in the name of which God are you coming? In the name of which God are you coming? Even back then, church, proof of ID mattered. They were carding God. Show me your ID. Are you 21? So Moses, God's telling Moses what to say, and Moses in this story, he's asking this burning bush, he's like, okay, who am I supposed to say is sending me? Who am I supposed to say is sending me? And God simply replies, I am who I am. When they ask you who's sending you, you tell them, I am sent you. And Moses could have like, no, quit joking. What's your name? You know? Because I always, whenever I read this verse, I always think of Popeye. I am's what I am's, and that's all that I am. You know what I'm talking about? I hate spinach. Moses could have been, quit joking around. What's your name? And God said, I am who I am. If I were Moses, I would have just been stepping back going, dude, that's some pretty deep stuff. If your name is I am. Because my name is I am Joe. You am Rick. You know, I am Joe. But God says, no, 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 there's no name to it. I just am. I am. God's name is based on who he is. I am. If you get to thinking about it, I am who I am speaks to God's self-sufficiency. He doesn't need any other point of reference. He is. He is the source. He is never-ending power. He is perpetual, creative, sustaining, never-ending. He is authority. He is the source of authority. He is the original source of everything in our lives. I am. Who is God? I am. God's the original source. He's the Alpha. Without Him, nothing is. God is I am. Who am I, you ask? I am. Without me, nothing is. Nothing is. So I bring all this up because it provides the first clue. Clue number one, it's like Blue's Clues. Remember Blue's Clues? When the boys were growing up, they liked that show. This is the first clue to unwinding who we are becoming when we decide to follow Jesus, right? Because, you see, Jesus, He leverages God's identity as I am to reveal who He is to the people, to His followers. And Jesus does this during several key moments. And we're going to be, throughout the summer, we're going to be looking at seven key moments in Jesus' ministry where He reveals who He is through the lens of I am. And Jason, if you're going to flip the next slide up there. So God's identity is I am. And Jesus reveals Himself to the people through these I am moments. There are these moments throughout His ministry. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. And when He says I am, the people know what I am means. They're Jewish. They're good Jews. They know that I am is the name of God. And when Jesus says I am, He is proclaiming His divinity. And He says, I'm the bread of life. We're going to talk about what that means. I am the light of the world. We're going to talk about what that means. I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection of the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the vine. We're going to dig into each and every one of these. As I've been studying this over the past several months, I am fascinated about how much practical implication each of these aspects of Jesus' identity through God, the great I am, informs who He wants us to be as followers of Jesus and where He wants our identity in Him to go. Because when we meet Jesus, our lives will never be the same when we accept Him into our hearts. Amen. And we're going to talk about the implications of that. We're going to be exploring this concept throughout the summer, because to be crucified with Christ and to have Christ living in you means you are being made into Christ's likeness. You are being made into Christ's likeness. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? It means that we are being made Christ-like. And we're going to talk about the practical implications of that. It means we are being remade into His image. Folks, it means we're being made holy, to use a churchy word. It means that God is making us holy people. If you're following Jesus, if He's the master of your heart, if you proclaim Him as Savior this morning, you are in the process of having your identity reformed and remade. I am not talking about going and getting a fake ID. Okay? Anybody ever got a fake ID before? Don't raise your hand. I'm not talking about going and getting your driver's license renewed. I'm not talking about going and getting a new passport or getting your first ever passport so you can leave the country. As followers of Jesus, our identity is being reforged as we move forward into life, into a life that's yielded and committed to Him. John the Baptist, I think, said it best. I'm just trying to bring this to life a little bit for us this morning in the last few moments we have here together. John the Baptist said it best to his followers in John 3. They were concerned about Jesus becoming more popular than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist had this thing going, and he was the precursor of Jesus, and he was out baptizing. And one day, one of his disciples came up and said, "Hey, more people are going over and getting baptized by Jesus than you. What do you think about that?" Trying to stir the pot just a little bit with John the Baptist. "There's some competition in the neighborhood, JTB. What are you going to do about it?" And John the Baptist, he was mature and he knew who he was. He knew who he was, and he knew he was the precursor to the Messiah. John knew that this was not a popularity contest. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And he understood the implications of that. And his followers were concerned about John becoming greater. But John was like, no. Let me give you a new understanding of what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. And he gives them this simple equation. He says, he must become greater and I must become less. Simple mathematical formula. And our relationship with Jesus, as we follow Christ, as we get to know Him better, Jesus becomes greater, we become less. I have a professor from my master's program. His name's Jay Ackerman. And Jay always signs his email with this sign that I have up on the screen this morning. You have the plus sign, which stands for the cross. And I'll take you to math class. You've got the greater than sign. And then you've got the J. And he always signs it, the cross, or Jesus, is becoming greater. And J is always becoming less. I thought, wow, what a great way to personalize that every day. You could do that. Every email you sign, every Facebook post you post out there, you could put the cross, Jesus, is greater than your first initial. Just as an acknowledgement of what it means to be crucified in Christ. I no longer live, but Christ is living within me. Jesus is becoming greater in my life, and I am becoming less. You see, in Christ, when we're following Jesus, people, we are in the process of receiving a new identity. We are not renewing the identity card that's in our wallet or purse. We are receiving a new identity. You are no longer, I've got good news for you this morning. You are no longer defined by those shortcomings on that piece of paper you wrote out this morning when you were in Christ Jesus. That slate is wiped clean. We are no longer defined in Him. We are becoming new creations. And as we yield to Jesus in our lives, as our choices every day, don't miss this. This is important because I think this is where people fall down on their faith in Jesus. It's in the choices you make every day. It's in the words you choose every day. And it's in the actions you act out every day. If they're yielded to Jesus, you're going to stay aligned with Jesus. He's going to become greater. You're going to become less and less. He's going to give you this new identity one day at a time, one decision at a time as we practice our faith. And He's not going to turn you into some bland or boring person. I promise. He's not going to turn you into some bland, boring person. He's going to bring who you really are out. He's going to bring who you really are out, who you were meant to be. He's going to bring that out. Because sin and some of the bad decisions and things we've made in the past, they kind of deaden the flavor of our true personality and the true identity of who we are. I know if I'm having a good steak, we all like steak, right? And it's almost lunchtime. I know I'm having a good experience with the steak if there's no need for like A1 sauce or Heinz 57. If you can eat a steak with no steak sauce, that's a good steak because they made A1 to mask the taste of horrible bland steak. They did. You're like, oh, that tastes good with A1 on it, but it tastes like a piece of rubber without the A1 on it. That's a bad steak. But when you don't need any seasoning and it's just good and natural because that's its natural essence, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring the natural, what you were always intended to be, out. So I want to close things down here this morning. This is really easy. We were having a conversation with my aunt and uncle up at the camp meeting yesterday and on Friday night. And my Uncle Jerry was talking to me about whether I resemble my mom or my dad. Okay? And I was sharing about how I feel like I resemble my mom. The older I get, I feel like I resemble my mom. And there's this cool thing that you can do with Snapchat where you can do face swaps with people. And it's amazing what happens when you Snapchat my face and swap it with my mom's face. It's kind of creepy, isn't it? But the older I get, the more I look like my mom and I look like my grandmother, and I just find that fascinating. I'm made in the image of Lois Bilheimer Case. And the older I get, the more time I spend in this relationship with her, the more I'm looking like her. And that's what it means to be crucified with Christ. But Christ no longer lives in me, but He's living in me now. Amen. He's living in me now. And I got to thinking also, I kind of look like my dad too. It's Father's Day. There's my pop. I resemble my father. I think I look more like my mom, personally, especially when you meld us together on Snapchat. It's kind of crazy. But I also resemble my father because I have his laugh. I have his work ethic. Which Pastor Vicky's like, you need to quit working so much. And I keep on telling my dad, Dad, you're 80. You need to quit working so much. Yeah. I have his penchant for milkshakes. You know? And that's what I think it means. As we're thinking about our identity in Christ, I think what it means, that's what it means when we read, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives within me. He must become greater. I must become less. I'm going to start looking less and less like I think I look. And I'm going to start looking like Jesus. Not only on Snapchat, but in my actions, in my decisions, in the words that I choose, in the motives of my heart. That's what it means for Jesus to start living in us and through us. But it only happens when we yield, because that's the crucified part. I'm crucified with Christ. That means I've yielded my life to Christ to the point of I'm dying out to self. And I've yielded to Him, and I'm going to allow Him to bring out the true flavor of who I was always meant to be so that He can work in me and through me and accomplish His will in the world and help me find my purpose in all of it.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Longview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.